Pesach and the Goyin says that talks about the importance of making siyog. So somebody asked me, like, you know, the goal of the year of Shemayim is that you should be able, you shouldn't need siyogim, you should have such a year, you shouldn't have to do it. The Goyin is very clear that making siyogim is part of year of Shemayim. Recognizing that the Rosh Hashanah human being is perfect, and we have nisyonos, we have taivas, and we have challenges, and creating different ways to protect ourselves from that is an expression of Yirat Shamayim. It's not a lack of Yirat Shamayim. So addressing the issue with smart ways is not a chesaron, it's a milah. Right? So if I have a problem, I forget something, so therefore I move it to a place where I don't have to forget, I have to remember it. It's not a chesaron, that's a smart thing. Okay. So holding a nice kuf tazayin still. So we spoke about al-tam al-ruach last time, about the idea of using your work in a positive way. So the second half of the rush is that a person shouldn't hear Dvar Metalim, which is Lashon of Chazal, right? And a person who allows his ears to hear Dvar Metalim, so after he goes past 120 years, so the ears get burnt first. I mean, you go to Gehenna, so the ears stick out, so they sort of fry first before everything else, right? So okay, what does that mean, the mice for us? Any time a person have a conversation with somebody else, and the purpose of the conversation is to act a form of connecting with somebody. And the way you connect with somebody is through deeper. Deeper is, we spoke about this idea that deeper is the ability of a human being to take something inside of himself and pass it on to somebody else. So it creates a tremendous connection between two people. I mentioned to you, I think, that the Rav Zalman Sorotzkin in his drushes, the name of the drushes is Adei Abadibur, so he talks about, like, Chazal say very clearly that animals talk. Animals have the power of speech, so why would you refer to human beings as Madaber? The more it talks about, the more in getting to the end of the fourth parak, the more it talks about that Shmuel knew the language of the birds, and he was captured one time, and Ravilish was captured, and an Arif came one time and said, Elish Brach, he says, you can't trust Arifim, they lie. So he didn't listen. Whereas later on, that a Yarda came and said, Elish Brach, run away. And he said, Yarda, Kleistos compared to Yarda, you can trust the Yarda. And he ran away, and he was got away from the bandits. So, I mean, he spoke the language of the birds. So the birds talk. You know? The bird came and told him, you know. So he says that birds communicate. Animals communicate. That's very clear. The more talks about Shlomo Melech, knew the sikhs of the different animals, etc. But that we should be able to communicate something from one generation to the next, and the next generation can start building on that information, not starting over again from scratch, that they can't do. Information is given is for a specific instance, and it doesn't raise the ramah, the level of the tzibur. Every bird is learning from scratch how to deal with life. They're not getting a masura from the new knowledge that the parents acquired. They're able to pass on. So the name of the sefer is Adei Abadibur. So the Nakuda of Dibur is its ability to pass over the daya that we have. It's a tremendously powerful thing. So taking that which is created to be a vehicle of chibur, of connecting, and using it to for lashon hara, which is to separate, is a terrible avlo. That's what we were talking about that time, right? So what about the word metalim? So the word metalim is a very difficult word, because what makes something batal? Why is something batal? So something which has a valid purpose is not batal, even though the conversation might be insignificant. But if that's my vehicle, how to connect to somebody, you have the famous stories you have, with these gedolim after the war, they would schmooze with the survivors about everything under the sun, just push it to bring them back into normal life. Excuse me, you're talking about, discussing chess with them, you're discussing music with them. It's a Dormitalim. It's not a Dormitalim, because it's a vehicle for human beings to connect. That's a tremendous thing when one person connects with somebody else. That's a tremendously powerful thing, which is what they did. And through that connection, they're able to bring it back into the arena of normal life. So, you know, you want to connect with your friends, you schmooze. Part of schmoozing is the light talk that you do. At some point, you accomplish that already. At some point, so now you're taking this again, this very powerful koyach, and you're not appreciating the value of it. And that's what I think the Rosh is talking about. So as long as it has a valid purpose, that's not a waste. Even though the topic itself might be insignificant. The boys asked me by the question and answers, Motzei Shabbos. It was a very interesting conversation. Boys asked me, is fantasy football going to Dabra Dover? So my first question was, what is fantasy football? I'm not sure I 100% got it 100% exactly how it works, but you make these fake teams with real players, whatever. So I said, like, Nus is was, and now what? Like, what do you do with it? He says, well, sometimes you play for money. Sometimes you play for money. It's a problem. He says, even if you're discussing how to create your team and to be able to make for money. So Dabra Dover is a very specific issue on Shabbos. Dabra Dover is that discussing anything on Shabbos, which during the week would be also, which it would be us to do on Shabbos, but you're discussing it in a way that's not quote-unquote usher, but you're talking about, so I talk about driving, I'm going to drive to New York on Sunday. I'm not doing anything wrong, I'm not arranging anything, but I'm discussing the act of driving. You can't drive on Shabbos. So that's Dabra Dover. I can walk, so I'm going to go to New York tomorrow. I didn't say how long it's going to take me. I'm going to go to New York. So I didn't say anything, there's no deeper usher in there. That's not Dabra Dover. So Dabra Dover is a very specific issue. I said, you're asking me, is that what you should be doing on Shabbos? That's a different question. You're asking me, Dabra Dover, the halacha question of Dabra Dover. So I said, it's not Dabra Dover. So I hear them quoting afterwards to the Rebbe. He said, Rebbe Rangel said, it's okay. You know, I said, I didn't comment anything. I was just, you know, it's a very challenging question because they asked me a halacha question. I'm answering as a poysik on a halacha question. You're asking me as a Rebbe what you do in your life on Shabbos. I don't think spending your time on Shabbos discussing fantasy football. That doesn't mean I haven't discussed baseball by my Shabbos table. Usually to disparage it, but that's why. But, you know, yeah, sometimes, you know, you're discussing, that's the person that you're talking with, that's what you need to connect with him. Not that I have great ideas of baseball. My ideas of baseball basically end about 1974 or so. So it's like a little behind the times. I seriously thought that the series was over at the beginning of the week, last week. Because I didn't hear anything during the week. So I figured Mustafa was over. My wife told me that, you know, that the Nationals are in the series. Mustafa and the kids are all... I said, I don't know, I didn't hear anything. Mustafa, somebody won, they lost, I don't know. And I found out that they won on Wednesday. It was like the funniest thing. I said, they're still playing? I got this look from somebody, I said that to them. They go, like, what planet do you live on, you know? I don't know. It's just like, I don't listen to the news. I find the news just frustrates me. And I don't read the newspaper. It's like, so how am I supposed to know? But let's say, you know, I would have a guest... one of my rabbis, Reb Chaim Zvi Katz, he used to keep up on baseball because that was the way he could connect with the boys in the elementary school where he was the principal. So he felt he had to know that. That was a way to connect. So that's not throwing potato. It's a very valid. The topic itself is insignificant, but the point is that the bottle is not the topic. The bottle is the purpose. If my goal is a vehicle to... There's 7.5 billion people in the world. And I would like to connect with all of them if I could. Every single person has something to teach me. Every single person, there's a human being, there's a Tzel Malakim. I would like to, there's 14, there's 14 and a half or 15 million Jews in the world. Okay, I'll settle for that, you know. Okay? You got to connect with them. So, you know, each person has a different vehicle, you connect with them. But that's an awesome goal in life, right? Any person I meet, I would like to understand them a little bit, learn from them, connect to them, give them a little bit of light in their life, you know. when I walk into the next Rosh Hashanah talks about names. So it's about Shem Ra. I just thought I was just going to talk about the idea that the names are significant, power of names. You know, my son teases me sometimes and says, you know, when I used to go to the bank, which is no longer here, Capital One, Aleichem Shalom, in Catmill Branch, I knew the names of all the tellers. I'd walk in, and even if I'm not necessarily going to them, you know, when I would leave, I would say hello to all the tellers. And I'd wave and say, you know, hi, Nancy, have a good day. You know, I made her day. Like, why should I, if I could do that to somebody, why should I do that? Like, you know, if I could give a person, I walk into CBS, you know, so I walk out. You know, there's James, and there's Melody, and there's, you know, like I cannot say hello to them. Right? Like, if I can use my power of speech to put a little bit of light in somebody's day, like, and you notice when you say somebody's name, you say have a good day, their face lights up. I walk into Shalom's and I say hello to Janice and to Kathy, and you know, but they always you know, but some of these names are like really interesting, like, you know. I had a funny one because I'm one of the tellers used to write. I met him when I went to jury duty, and he was going to get his realtor's license. He left that, you know, the bank. He was getting his realtor's license. And I crawl across the lobby. Hey, Talante! And the guy went out with Caleb. I can remember his name. I go into the cleaners, the Look Sharp cleaners up in Glenmont. The fellow walks in. I walk in and says, "Hey, Elliot, how you doing?" He's got my business. He remembers me as a person. Before looking me up, he looks at me, he knows my name. He's a very good businessman. He does just for business, but if he knows my name, I'm going to connect with the guy. And so the speech is such a powerful thing. Like, you know, like, you can do such wonderful things with it. And it's like, I'm not a big thing about, you know, the Lashon Hara is bad and not bad. It's just like, it's a total waste of an opportunity when Lashon Tov is good. Like let's come from a different angle. You know, like, you're given such a speech is such a powerful thing. It's a vehicle of enlightening people, of lighting up their day. Because I'll say, Dagor Levish, Yasichena Lacherem, you just talk it out. Yashkena, Yasichena Lacherem, talk it out. Tremendous power of just talking it out. Psychologists tell you this all the time. If a person will talk it out, then it's already changes his attitude towards it. He got it outside of himself. It's partially not, the weight has been really reduced just by talking it out.
Mr. G.
If the Rosh Hashanah gave such a powerful kaya, poor kid. I didn't see who it was. You know. This is my sister, Yaakov Lubchansky. He was the Rav in Baranovich. So the Shamash's job was to light the oven every morning because it was hot, it was freezing cold. It was this, you know, this is, you know, the, northern Poland. Winters were gefährlich. So there was a neem was left in the shul. So the Shamash lighted on the neem. Sometimes the neem didn't light. You know, nobody slept there that night. So we come in, it was freezing cold. The Balabatram sent the Shamash, like, he's not doing his job. I'm working Hashem, it's warm every morning. So the Shamash thought the neem were coming, and the Balabatram thought the Shamash was doing it. One day he comes in, he sees a fellow with his head in the oven. The wood was a little bit wet. So he's blowing on the wood to get the fire going. You know? Right? So he went over and gave the guy a slap in the back. It was the Rav. The Rav was coming every morning early and lighting the fire. The Shamash doesn't lose his job. But the Rav reels, if he takes his head out, the Shamash is going to be embarrassed. He just slapped the Rav in the back like this. You know? So the Shamash was going, he was the son-in-law of the Altif of Navardik. He wasn't like, you know, Stama, you know, a rabbi in the local synagogue. He was going out there, you know. So he kept his head in the oven. His beard got singed off, right? So the kid walks in, and I don't know, like, it's embarrassing for the kid. Like, I don't want to send the kid. Okay, we'll stop here.